This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. Win, lose or draw, McDelivery will always help bring home the 3 points. And speaking of points, order now on the McDonald's app and you'll earn reward points through every delivery. Order today, rewards tomorrow. You in? Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Hello and welcome back to the Blues Focus podcast with me, Tommy Kelsall, Jamie Lawler and Sam Sheppey. Good evening, guys. How are we?
Good evening.
Just a nod from you, Jamie, is it?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. It's nice to have you on the show again. For those listening in on audio, then Jamie is happy and very smiley today.
You did say you got up at 4 a.m, so that may play a part in.
I will flag at some point, so we move.
Yeah, so today we will be discussing, of course, that game from yesterday, Ipswich, much improved from Wayne Rooney's team, but unfortunately couldn't hold out for the most of the game to win the game. And obviously with Sunderland next week, how does that fare? Are we going to have a decent result or is it perhaps going to go back to how we were going before that? We are live, so be sure to get your comments and your questions in for us here at live streaming now. But yeah, let's kick off with the some of the game yesterday. Of course, yesterday was Blues' Remembrance Day tributes. We had a big flag out. There was a brass band which were playing Mr. Blue Sky and Keep Rhyme, which I really enjoyed. I thought that was a good addition. Whoever they are then, you know, you did a great job and everything was pretty good, actually. Then obviously, the Mr. Blue Sky was before the game. And then they played Keep Rhyme on the way out as well, which was really good. I really liked that as well. I don't know about you. As he takes it,
just Jamie takes the seat.
Timed that perfectly. No,
I thought you were kept going. I was like, oh no. No, I thought it was all impeccably done, really well. I thought everything was spot on. The atmosphere was good. You know, apart from one idiotic fan shouting during the minute silence as well, everything was great. Like, everything was perfect. It, you know, went really well for that pre-game kind of ceremony.
Yeah, it's always nice. I always enjoyed the last post. It's nice, really. It is something that I still hold very much a value to. But into the game, obviously me and you were there yesterday, Jamie. Sam, of course, was at home watching it. But yeah, let's get straight into it. Much improved or were we a bit lucky yesterday?
Oh, much improved. Much improved, in my opinion. We'll talk about, obviously, it's a game of two halves, and it definitely was yesterday. But for the first 60 minutes, we were, in my opinion, the better team. They had a 5-minute spell at the start of the second half. We counterattacked and scored from it. It was an own goal, but we take them. It's about time we had a bit of the rub of the green, so it was nice. It was just an improved, what Rooney's been talking about, the high pressing attacking football. We saw it yesterday, and the players are going to take time to gain the fitness. You can still see some of them are adjusting to it, the new formation, the new way of playing, but it's, I think my favourite moment of yesterday was we took the lead, we were knocking it about, and then all you heard was sexy Rooney football around the whole of St. Andrews, and I was dying. I was like, that was incredible.
Was that being sung? I didn't hear that.
Did you not hear that? Oh, mate, it was going... Oh,
just a Jamie's head.
That sounds like something that went on in your head.
All around the cup corner. You get it.
It sounds like something that you would say as well.
Well,
you started, Jamie.
I was crying though when I
just sat there with like a little speaker with him singing it into like a big hall. Just like, sexy Rooney football. Oh, well, don't blame me. You know, I heard it. It's not my fault you didn't hear it.
We're doing good. It was good. I think there's only positives you can take from it. I have slated a Mr. Oliver Burt to the ground, and I will say very openly that that was his best performance yesterday, and maybe down the middle, bar missing one chance, but you can forgive that. Like, he grafted his heart off and he pressed and he didn't give them a second.
I think he works well through the middle. I don't know about you guys, but I feel like you think he's a bit wasted out on the wing. You know, he's quick, but in the air, he's very good. He's quite muscular, you know, he's quite strong. And I think he's probably one of those players who, if he starts to bag a few goals through the middle, and obviously he still has yet to score for us, and, you know, I feel like if he does, then his confidence might go through the roof.
Definitely.
I feel like, you know, playing him in like a sort of Djukovic sort of role almost might be a bit of a improvement on his game. I don't know about you guys, but I was happy to see Stansfield was playing a little more centrally yesterday. Like, of course, Burke was going more central as well, but, you know, it just shows, really, because he's just so effective in and around the box. Yes, he's just as effective out wide. But, I mean, that first goal was fantastic. You know, he just stayed alert. That, like,
instinct, wasn't it?
It really was. He wasn't sort of giving that up for the goalkeeper. You know, he was on it immediately, went over to it, and it was just like, that's my ball, that is. You know, he wasn't just... He's that type of player, and that's what we've missed, really, at Blues for such a long time now.
We haven't. Someone that's sort of as young as Stansfield, sort of showing that attacking ability and awareness as well, because you saw, like, you know, Bakuna sort of shot whatever it was trickle across, and then Stansfield just has the alertness to latch onto it sort of on the swivel and then put it past the keeper, and I just thought it was a really good finish. And that's five now for the season for Stansfield, and I don't know what you guys think, how many goals he'll get this season, but I reckon it will be sort of double digits, round about the sort of 15 goal mark. I'd love that.
You could argue that, actually. I mean, like, he's definitely going to get double figures, I believe. Whether he can get 15 would be... I mean, if he does, then that's a fantastic return for him. And I imagine Fulham as well. There's been some talk about him returning to Fulham because,
fans... It's going to happen. I'm scared January.
Oh, I know. I think on the form that he's been playing with, and the attitude as well, I think, you know, you can bag goals or whatever, but, like, if you've genuinely performed to the best that you can, which he does every single game, then I'm sure that Fulham will be interested in him, because obviously they don't have Mitrovic anymore ever since he moved to the Saudi leagues, and they might be interested in seeing how he fares in the Premier League, because at the moment, I think he's probably one of the best strikers in the Championship, you know, given the ball, and he's going to really test the keeper, isn't he?
He's got everything, hasn't he? He's got it. Like, and the other thing I like about him, he's got pace, he's got a bit of strength about him, he's got the dribbling. Obviously, we've all seen he can hit a ball as well, and he hits it hard. He doesn't mess about when he has a, but he's got aggression as well. He's got that dog in him. You can see that fire in him when something isn't going his way. He's soon letting that ref know. He's like, listen, what's going on?
I mean, rude, isn't he?
Yeah, 100%.
That dog in him, just like aggression.
I weren't at Southampton, but from what I heard, everything that he was outing some of our players on the pitches, you're looking at him saying, what are you doing? Like, this kid's like coming on loan. He's what, 20, and he's already like displaying all these attributes. Like, this kid's going to go far. He's going to be a Prem player next 2 years easily.
No, I really hope so. I really like him. I think he's been. He hasn't been our best signing, but still, he's been absolutely fantastic since he's come in. Second half, I mean, first half, we were absolutely fantastic. I mean, we should talk about that. I mean, from the last three games that we've been playing, it just didn't look like there was anything there. But then it comes to yesterday and we were like, we're up for it. The fans were with him as well. I think that's the biggest thing. Like, we were quite determined to see a good performance, and we did yesterday. Granted, we didn't win the game, but still, we were wanting them to play well, you know. And I feel like they responded to that. And that's what they can get with us as fans, really.
I think that's massive, isn't it? Like, we were 2-0 up. We dropped a 2-goal lead. Okay. Usually, and it did feel like, you know, I was hurt leaving the ground yesterday, but we applauded them off the pitch.
Yeah.
We clapped them off the pitch because all we ever want is 100%. And every player on that pitch who started that game was exhausted. They were not, even Ivan Sundžić looked tired towards the end of the game. And I was like, if Sundžić's getting tired, like, you know, they've grafted here, lads. Like, so you can't deny it. The first half was great. It was great to watch. I've got two words for you. Ethan Laird.
Massive improvements, isn't it?
Wow. That ball for the first goal as well. Have you seen it? Have you seen it, Sam? The first goal?
Yeah.
Outside of the boot, just switches the plot.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
We've missed him since August, haven't we? And now that he's sort of come back in, it's just such a breath of fresh air, isn't it? And that's the player that, you know, we've seen first couple games of the season. And if he can stay fit, then he's going to be a fantastic player for us.
Oh, he's unreal. And Dramé, shout out to Dramé at left back. Thought he was class.
Yeah,
I thought he didn't stop running. He bombed up and down all game. You know, like, it's always difficult when you're a natural right footer, I suppose, playing on the left back role and vice versa, but he didn't look out of place.
Yeah. I was thinking before the game that they were going to take Longuello out the firing line because of his sort of last couple of performances. And I thought, what is he going to do? Is he going to sort of chuck Laird in straight away, despite the fact he's not been playing since August? And what they decided to do is play Drame at left back. And considering that's not his natural position, I think he had a good game.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I thought they'd do that as well, to be honest. I felt like it just felt a bit more like on pressure on Longuello, who was massively at fault for the goal against Hull. So it was really, I think it was probably for his better, really. And Drama's, you know, he's not been in the best of form since Rooney's come in, but I feel like out of the two, you'd perhaps put Drama in at left back, really. And he works fantastically, like you said. So when the, obviously we get the second goal in the second half, a lot of luck, I've got to be honest. It felt a bit lucky at the time, but after watching it back on the highlights, it's like it's just going into the keeper's reach, really, across the box. It's a dangerous ball in from Bakuna, and he does really well. But really, like, the defender just completely gets it wrong. I can't remember who does it now. I've forgotten his name.
Yeah, Burgess has scored the own goal.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, he just got it completely wrong. I kind of feel for him, really, because those goals, like, they're so unpreventable sometimes.
But we need a bit of luck, though, don't we?
Yeah.
we need a bit of luck.
Also, can we just say, did the announcer actually announce the own goal scorer as well? Did I hear that right yesterday?
I can't remember because
I heard goal for Birmingham City. And I think
you might want to go and talk to somebody, Jamie. I think
I'm telling you now, it happened right. People, someone back me in these comments who heard it as well. Do not make me look a mugger.
I feel like I heard something, but the crowd was quite loud at the time, so I didn't really know what was going. Yeah, it was good. Yeah, yeah, it was good.
Coming back.
I tell you as well, the lower tiers, they are starting to really look good as well now, because on the highlights as well, when we get that second goal, you can see all the railings and everything for the safe standing. I just thought that's a great idea. It really works, isn't it? And I feel once they finish it all, then, you know, the atmosphere is back, really. And I think if they can get it done for something like Boxing Day against Stoke, then that atmosphere is going to be great, because like we played Stoke on Boxing Day a couple of years ago, didn't we, with Monk. And that was fantastic. That was, we fucking battered them as well. So we just we really should have like a game like that again. Alan says there weren't many in the Tilton yesterday. But I still think that the look of it is getting there again. And I've forgotten how much I really like just the look of that bit of the stand, really. I feel like the best, you know, when you sit in the main stand, when you look at the whole Tilton and Cop, it's a great view, really. It's probably the best view from the stadium. Apparently somebody did announce the Andrew says Rich did announce the Ipswich player as the scorer of the own goal.
He's asking him, did you announce it?
Did you?
Oh, did. Oh, God, I can't read at the moment.
he might not, but I'm 90%. They also put Stansfield's face on the board, by the way, when it went 2-0, and I was like, because on the other side of it, I was like, I don't think he got near it. I don't know what's happened there.
Welcome
like,
back to Blues Focus. We're just no idea as usual.
The goal was assigned to George Hall.
For pity.
He needs one on the record for this season.
Exactly.
But yeah, obviously the game did then change away from our favour. So we made a few subs. This was a bit of a talking point. I don't know whether you thought this was a good idea, Sam, but like, Burke and James both went off for Bielik and Dembele, and Longuello obviously went on for Laird. Was it a big difference?
It's one of those things where you sort of look at the substitutions that are made late on in the game, like when we were sort of trying to close it out as such, where we sort of switched the formation, looked to have those three centre-backs in there. And I think from the moment we were sort of pressing Ipswich, really making them work, it was going really well. But I think what played into it as well is the fact that the players were getting quite tired. And it's quite demanding to play that style of football for 90 minutes. So that's why perhaps the formation did change. It didn't necessarily work, but it's one of the things where you can see, especially with the second goal that Harness scored, where it's just sort of bobbling around. And perhaps, you know, 10, 15 minutes earlier, a player would have got there to close him down, but it just didn't happen. So I just think with the substitutions, we were trying to freshen it up. Obviously, the change of formation did affect us too.
Who do you think was at fault for the goals?
I struggle to put it down to one person, because I feel like a sort of collective defensive thing. It's, you know, everyone was a bit tired across that back line. It's one of the things where, because of the performance we put in, you don't want to necessarily put it down to one player and go, right, you're at fault for this, because I thought on the whole the team did perform pretty well. But yeah, I wouldn't put it down to one person as such. I don't know if you guys have a different opinion.
Jamie, go on.
I'm trying to be very neutral here. I felt, to be honest, the whole game-changing moment for me was Laird having to come off.
Yeah.
Like, the first attack down the fucking right-hand side.
He did.
Skinned. Goal. Literally. I was like, oh,
he was behind the goal when the ball went in.
And you could see his face as well. He was like, oh, fuck. I mean, just before that, he cleared about four headers coming into the box, back post, which a striker's getting on the end of. But this kid is class. So good. There was one yesterday where every defender put their hand up for an offside. They didn't give it, and Laird still pelted back and got to the ball. Mm. And I was like, he's a joke, ain't he? Absolute joke on the ball, joke going forward, joke coming back. Can I single someone out? No. Do I question Wayne Rooney? Slightly. Going from a back four to a back five never usually works for us, and it didn't yesterday. I would question why Kevin Long, who's had a great season so far, is sat on the bench, and you've gone for the Barnsley Beckham instead, who, you know, I was just very, very confused by that change, because Longello lost his man for the second goal. Cool. Mark Roberts has slid into the abyss and got absolutely nowhere near the cross. Fantastic. So the two subs of both, you could blame them both for the second goal. I think the first goal was unfortunate. Drame is obviously exhausted. He's been skinned. Balls fell in the box, and it happens. You know, it's a crap tapping, and it's going to happen. It's football. There's a reason they're second in the league, isn't it? I suppose is the way I need to. They made four changes and four quality changes as well. I think that's the thing.
As soon as they made their changes as well, it changed it as well.
Like, 100%.
Our changes, it was their changes as well.
I remember saying as well, said that I went with one of the managers from my workplace, Tom, yesterday. And I said to him about the 6th, 7th minute, I went, it's a bit weird that no one's made a change yet. And as I said it, I saw four at switch players, and I was like, oh, good. There they are.
Cavalry. Yeah, it was a bit of a dramatic change, but it definitely worked for them.
Ours,
probably in hindsight, didn't work. I thought at the time it was, you know, good, because, you know, we're bringing off some of our players who were going to get most likely to get injured, and then bringing on players who were suitable to replace them. But in hindsight, it wasn't the best thing to do. But that's obviously what Rooney felt was best at the time, and I agreed with him, because you didn't want to get players like Burke and James injured, and Dembele as well. 100%. Dembele as well coming on would have been tricky to have, you know, played up against. But I don't know about him at the moment. I feel like he's still not being played right in his positions, because for me, and I've said this before, that he works best as a proper wide midfielder. Like, he needs to be touching the line all the time. Yeah, so he needs to be just as rapid around that player. But again, he seems to be too further inside. I'm not too sure whether that's Rooney telling him that, or whether he's deciding to try and change up his game. But I feel
he was just the pressing style he wants to play now.
Yeah, and I don't mind him coming on. I feel like that's obviously a good idea for, you know, different games, different tactics and everything. But I still think that he is kind of a bit overlooked at the moment, maybe. I don't know. He seems to not be playing the football that he is more than capable of. And really, yeah, I didn't see much of him from yesterday, but I was hoping for a little bit more. And we didn't, as soon as we made those subs, we didn't really have any chances, did we?
No, and I think that's the fatigue got to us. I've completely sidelined your first question from 5 minutes ago, saying, do I think the subs were a good choice at the time? Yeah, and the reason we made them choices is JJ especially and Ollie Burke ran their socks off. They were knackered, you could see that. Obviously, JJ, apart from international duty, hasn't had a lot of football this season. Ollie Burke still, you know, he's come in, not probably had a proper 90 minutes as in a while, so he's probably feeling it, especially with that work rate. It's going to happen. It was going to happen. We had to make the changes. I think Siriki will turn good. I think the issue is he's had Buchanan by him most of the season. And when you've got Lee Buchanan, you've got the license to just chill, because you know he's that good, he'll get back.
You have that trust in the person that's playing behind you.
And I think under the 4-2-3-1 Eustace formation, you could trust Longello a little more at left. And I'm not outing Longello, by the way, guys, so don't get on my neck here. Like, you could have that, because you had a Bielik and a Sundžić in the CDM position, so they'd cover into that space, which gave Siriki that bit of space to go. Whereas I think now under this formation, it's a bit tougher for him, because he is getting consistently left two-on-one usually. He'll get the ball and he just gets clattered. But I think he'll come good. It will take time to adjust. it'll be okay. Rooney's still finding his formula, isn't he? Let's be honest. He hasn't really got a stable 11 yet. We've still got loads to come back. It will take time. And Ipswich, we can. Yeah, I said before kickoff, I take a point. I'm still happy with a point.
I think I am as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Depending on, particularly towards the end of the game, I was like, right, I'll definitely take a point now.
Yeah. I mean, in that 90th minute, the game just exploded open. It was end to end at one point. I was like, oh, God, someone's going to win it. Please, no. No, Ipswich. No.
Were you surprised by Ipswich?
I was surprised how shite they looked for 65 minutes, yeah.
Mm.
Like, but I think that was down to us. I think that was down to we made them look bad. I don't think that's because they are bad. I think we made them look bad. They're second in the league for a reason.
Mm. I would say that they were pretty poor yesterday, and I'm not entirely sure how they usually play, but there was a good 15 minutes in the second half where they literally couldn't pass the ball. Every single pass that they made went out of play. Like, they tried to switch it loads of times. It just kept going out of play. And it reminded me a bit of, like, Argentina and France in the final, because Argentina were all over them for that 80 minutes. And then France scored two goals in the matter of seconds. It was kind of a bit like that. We were easily coasting towards a victory. You know, Ipswich couldn't create chances. Laird, like you say, was on the back post, just getting rid of everything. And, you know, they just didn't know what to do. And they kept trying to switch it. There's a couple of times I feature in my vlog, and there's obviously more in the game where they try and play it out to the side. It just misses them, goes out for a throw. I thought we're easing to victory here, but like, I just say it's typical Blues, you know. We just, whatever it seems to be in what game, we could have been 3-0 up and we probably still have drew that game.
I mean,
it
how
was
many
lucky
times
we didn't.
Remember last season, was it Reading when we were 3-0 up and it's still ending 3-2? Like, we still make it look nervous. We
exactly.
Don't make any lead look nervy. We're Birmingham City. It's something we just got unused to.
I think that's why we needed the third goal, though.
Yeah, the press is still to be perfected. We have to remember that. Like, this is Rooney's fourth week, four games. Like, it's going to take some time. I mean, I said yesterday as well, Jay Stansfield, about 40 times yesterday, was that close to getting onto a pass. Mm. You know, like, that close with his press, that's going to take a bit of a... I mean, I know Bakuna got an assist, and I know he caused a second goal, so I'm going to get pelters for this one. But there was about four or five times where he was just doing his usual little calm jog, and if he had just put a foot forward or thought half a second early, he was intercepted about four passes in a dangerous position. I was like, get on your toes, Baka, please, Bakuna, get on your toes. Mm. Please, mate. Like, and just... It's one of them. Decision-making can let you down at times, but I also think he's got that spark of creativity in him that you can kind of deal with it when he does stuff like that.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
That's it, isn't it? Because with Bakuna, it's very much moments, isn't it? He shows it in moments where, like, going forward, he'll do like a certain skill move and it'll sort of get you up off your seat. And it's that thing where if he can sort of improve his all-round game, then he'll become like a quality player.
Mm. Yeah, but I mean, used to said it, didn't he? If he improves certain aspects of his game, he'd be playing the Premier League, though, wouldn't he? Let's be honest about it. He's got the flair, he's got the skill, he's got the passing ability. When he passes and doesn't cut inside and play drama for on goal a couple of times, it's okay, we'll let it go. But, you know, it's one of them. He's good. Miyoshi, I thought, was class yesterday as well. I thought Rooney spoke highly about people taking the ball in tight positions. I thought Miyoshi was incredibly good at that yesterday. Mm-hmm. Taking that ball.
So agile, isn't he, Miyoshi? Oh, like, the way that he moves. Yeah.
Ah, oh, love him.
Yeah, really impressed by him. I feel like he's... I feel I thought at the start of the season he was more of a wide player, but seeing more of him through the middle, I'm like, okay, yeah, he might have better attributes going in than through the middle, actually. I just feel like it's something we're perhaps looking over at the moment in that wide areas, because like that our goals came from those wide areas yesterday, and mm-hmm. they have come from most of the season as well. So I feel like we need to keep an eye on that really, and try not to, you know, try and go too centrally. But I do agree that Miyoshi is coming into more of a central role. Let's have a read through some of your comments. Joe Shepherd says, I think we played really well. Shame we didn't win because we were so close. But what do you think of Wayne Rooney? Obviously, you know, I still think I still think that he's going to play some better football as time goes on. The players are still learning and everything. I would like to see, like I said, more wide area work and everything, and just try and, you know, win some games really convincingly. But still work in progress. I'm still behind him and everything. But we'll just have to wait and see. What you guys think?
Do you want to go, Sam? You go first for this one, Mike.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, like, I agree completely with, you know, just sticking by the process, trusting it as much as possible, because we did see in glimmers, but more than glimmers yesterday, for most of the game against Ipswich, you know, what this team can do with that sort of new mentality and that new sort of philosophy of, you know, trying to go at teams and not sort of sitting back on 1-0s or whatever, and really trying to go for a lot of goals. And we saw that in moments yesterday where, like, you know, there was certain shots that were being fired in and the crowd were getting up and everything. And it took ages for Ipswich to actually register a shot on target as well. Mm. That's one thing that I did see. So it's that whole sort of pressing from the front and not letting them get to our area. So I really do like that side of Birmingham. And it's something that we haven't seen a lot of Birmingham teams do in the past. You know, we're so used to sort of being that team that soaks up the pressure, hitting teams on the counter, very sort of regimented. But this new sort of Birmingham style, if it does work and gets the results and performances like yesterday for a prolonged amount of time, I'm all for it.
I agree. I think it's a work in progress, a massive one. I think yesterday was good for us as a fan base to see that there is improvement. He gave his word in that press conference. He said, look, this is the best week of training I've had with them. I've had a play at our game. I'm not picking people on merit. I'm picking people because they're good enough. Someone said to me the other day, and they're dot on with this one, like, it must be so difficult as a manager walking into this team, doing a pre-season with a horrendous... Because he's basically doing a pre-season, isn't he? He's getting to know a whole new team. You've got a horrendous run of fixtures. We all knew these first five games were the embodiment of fire if you're ever going to have one. And now 3 to 4 games in, he's now starting to tweak and work out what's going on. Mm. I think you give him... Get Sunderland out of the way. I'd love 3 points. I'd take a point. Just, you know, we stopped the rutter losing now. Fantastic. I believe Wayne Rooney is going to do good bits. I think the backroom staff we've got now are going to be great. And I think give him another 2 weeks on an international break. I think we'll see more. As the fitness gets better, we'll be all right. We'll be all right.
Yeah. Speaking of Sunderland, let's go on to a few of them. Blue Sumlin says, Sunderland is a must-win game. 1 point from 12 is not good enough. Interesting what you guys make.
If you look at it like that sort of face value, 1 point from 12, it's not good, is it? But it's one of the things where the fixtures were always going to be tough, weren't they? It was always going to be a tough run of fixtures. I don't know what you guys was thinking sort of going into that run, how many points we'd realistically get. I mean, one isn't good enough, but like, I would love to see us win sometime soon, because it's obviously all these performances. We're saying all these good things, but at the end of the day, we didn't get the 3 points, did we, yesterday? And that's something that we all want. And it's something that, you know, if we're in the bottom half of the table, sort of still there, round about the Christmas time, there will be a bit of pressure. So I'm hoping that results can come soon to relieve a bit of that pressure and look upwards rather than downwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not looking over my shoulder or anything yet. I think we're going to be perfectly fine. I really do. I knew any new manager walking in was going to have this problem. I knew it was going to take a while. Do I think the timing was bad? Yeah, I mean, it could have been timed better, couldn't it? But sadly, it happened, and there's not a fat lot any of us can do about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Great Piercy says, played well yesterday, deserved 3 points. Sunderland are there for the taking with the main centre-halves being banned. Interesting. Ooh. I didn't know that.
Get at him.
But I think then maybe, that's not a word. Maybe the central areas are probably best to attack then, aren't they? So is Ollie Burke going through the middle might work. Jay Stansfield going through the middle might work. Jamie's still laughing at me saying I think so.
I think if he keeps that 11, I think if you keep that 11 and go for it again, like, so I saw someone in the comments there saying, if, like, obviously he said spot on Jamie, so I'm going to read his comment out. Big up. But he said, like, if we play like that, again against Sunderland. Yeah, he's right. We should absolutely stuff them. I am terrified that Joe Bellingham's going to score and then do the Jude celebration in front of us, because I'll be very angry.
No way.
How blues it? How many times it happened? Players that we let go of Dawson. How many times does this happen?
Speaking of players we just let go, have you seen the most recent comment?
Chung scored for Luton.
Wow.
God, Chung. Wow. Get in.
There you go. That's his value paid.
That's what you get for 5 million.
I do think if they're missing both the centre halves, I think we've got a chance. Mm. So I think we have genuinely got a good chance here. And I think I don't fear many teams in this league, especially after yesterday's performance, which sounds really stupid and optimistic to say as a Birmingham fan. But you play that sexy Rooney football that we played yesterday, maybe there is a chance to get some points out of it.
Oh, shut up. Shut up, Jamie, honestly. I hate your banter. Maybelline. I should get a Liam Gallagher t-shirt with my face on with the little speech bubble saying Maybelline. You're gonna be the one that saves me. Anyway, before this turns into karaoke, let's go on to some more questions before we dive into the Sunderland game. Josh, of course, for the Blues Focus podcast, says press was disrupting them, but as soon as the subs were made, the press stopped. That's when the game changed.
Yeah,
fair comments. I agree, actually. I feel it's just led. It was, and also the change of back five. I'm just not a fan of back five football. I don't think it suits us. I don't think it suits the fans, the players, anybody. It's a very defensive style of football, and trying to defend for the last, couple of minutes of the game, fair enough, but I just don't think that it works for us. I don't know about you guys.
I think back to what I was saying earlier, the fact that Ipswich only had one shot on target in the first 45 minutes, and it wasn't because we were sort of sitting back, it's because we were pressing them from the front and not letting them get to the final third. So it's that thing where we did sit back and you do let them play football. A team that's second in the league, obviously they can create chances, and we kind of got punished for it.
This is going to sound a really, really daft thing to say, but yesterday when Josh had just put the good point across there about the press ending, and it did, it caused, I know I've given pelters, but Scott Hogan, would you not have surely brought him on and gone, look, if we're trying to press high still, I'm not after you scoring a goal here, lad, just fucking run.
Yeah, Djukovic felt like the wrong decision, didn't he?
Just run at him. That's what you got to do. Just see what Burke's done, do that.
Yeah.
You are basically a slimmer, weaker version of Burke. Just do Burke's job.
I agree, though. I feel like Hogan would have done a better job, He doesn't need to get another goal. Of course, he's obviously available.
I understand Duke, 100%, and I love Duke. Don't get me wrong.
I don't think it's the right decision, though.
But
yeah,
I think what he was trying to bring in, what he was trying to do is slow the game down. And when you're 2-0 up in that game, in that situation, because when he made them changes, we were still 2-0 up. So I think at that point, you're kind of looking to slow the game down. You bring on Duke to hold it up. You've got Siriki Dembélé on one side. You've got Koji still the other side running about. It made sense to make that move at that moment. It was just the unfortunate circumstances that 2-1 happened and then the change come in. And at that point, they're pressing. If Ethan Laird doesn't come off, that goal doesn't happen, then changes are fine and we see out a comfortable 2-0 win. They got momentum. It happened. I don't begrudge why he made them changes, and I understand the safety option of making that change with the fitness. And it's just one of them. It's a learning curve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree.
He's still learning his squad, isn't he? That's the thing. Still learning what players can do, what players can't do. And it's that thing because obviously we've got that background information of, knowing that Duke perhaps hasn't got the pace of Ollie Burke. And that's something that, really would beforehand, but still you got to know that pressing from the front, Duke obviously gives his all, doesn't he, but he doesn't have the pace to close down as quick as maybe a Hogan does. But I do wonder as well
if he's starting to tire a bit as well now, because his header yesterday wasn't the best, was it?
I know, how many times have we seen Duke bag that?
If not score it, at least
flick it on.
Yeah,
it was stood up, it was in the middle of the slightly back post, that's his thriving point.
Yeah,
so I don't know. Maybe he had pressure of an Ipswich player on his back, but I don't think he's starting to wear off and tire. I don't know. It's just, I think, an unfortunate one-off, really, for Duke. Mm. Sadly, it happens. It happens. It's football.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, let's move on to the Sunderland game then. Obviously, on Remembrance Day, be interesting to see what plans they've got for the tributes and everything. That comment just mentioned there. they've got two of their main defenders out. I mean, what do we expect, really? I know we might have already touched on this a little bit, but just sort of what do we expect from the lineup? Can we get a win? You know, is there a possibility that we can sneak anything back from them?
Yeah, I think we can. Genuinely think we can. I think if they're missing their centre-backs, you know, that's going to cause disarray for them. And I think we haven't, if we go off the Ipswich game especially, we've got the ability, like, we can get at teams aggressively. Ipswich didn't know, like you said yesterday, they're second in the league. They were passing balls out of play for about 10 minutes. We rattled them fully, like, got in their heads. They weren't enjoying it. I think you can do that to most teams. I think Rooney will input that style of play. Maybe might bring in a change or two. You know, I'm very interested to see what he does when George Hall's back, when Keshi's back, you know, when he's got all his team back, when Buchanan's back. That's going to be when it gets interesting, when he's got his fully fit best 11.
After the international break, that'll be hopefully, we've heard it, you know, a couple of players.
I mean, Tyler Roberts is still to come back.
Exactly.
No, yeah, who was...
got good players to come back.
I think he really should have... I think he was probably one of our best players in pre-season, Tyler Roberts. It's always difficult to say because you're not really up against much opposition. But from what I saw from him, it was just like neat and tidy type of player. But he is incredibly injury prone, which I think someone said earlier. It's just like fitness is a key problem at the Blues, which, I mean, we always just know happened. It with this team. Yeah,
I
really
mean, we have signed a lot of players for pittance, and we know with that you do get they're going to have some injuries. Some of them are injury prone. It's going to be tough. Like, we're going to pick up injuries and it's going to be hard to get a full fit team. But I think just give it time, see what happens. I'm not worrying this season at all. I'm literally just like, all right, finish anywhere above 16th, 17th. It's an improvement, isn't it, really? So just smile and wave. Go with it. It's going to take a year or so to get the full Rooney process going with his signings, give him transfer windows, get his players in. Then you'll, I think, reap the benefits of what's really going on here.
Yeah.
And I think he's right. I've seen a couple of comments saying it. Rooney already has probably figured out who he's going in January. He's 100% already figured that one out.
I think so.
He's the first manager in couple of years who's walked in and within three games gone to Hogan, you're on the bench. Bench. So he's already figured out his 11.
Yeah. Be sure to get your predictions for the Sunderland game and we will be flashing them up on the screen. I mean, let's talk about predictions then. What do you guys expect from that game? Because it's away, it's a long journey. I don't want it to be like Middlesbrough, if I put it like that, you know, because it was a long journey. Early kickoff.
It's on Sky, isn't it?
Yeah, and that one's 12:30 as well. So again, it's like Southampton all over again. We had to get up fucking 6:30 in the morning for that game, as I detailed thoroughly in my vlog. Finalizes that decision, whether it's the EFL or Sky, I don't know. It's whichever way, I'm not happy about it. You know, traveling,
they love it, they love mugging us off.
I don't understand the way it's going, isn't it?
They don't care about the fans, do
it over. It's great. Oh, you can have two long distance, have a 12:30 kickoff on a Saturday. Ah, screw you, lads. Cheers.
I get the feeling that they sort of just do like a random bingo draw of it all, just like, right, Sunderland versus Birmingham City, which one's this going to be? 12:30, right, there we go. That'll piss them off. Because they did it a couple of seasons ago, didn't they, between Bournemouth and Middlesbrough, didn't they? So Bournemouth have to travel all the way up to Middlesbrough for a 12:30 kickoff. It's ridiculous, really. Apparently TV rights dictate the kickoff time, so fuck you, Sky, or whoever does this. I'm not happy with that.
Is it the Wayne Rooney factor, though, as well? Because obviously it was all...
I get that, but also...
We've got to watch how they're getting on. Or was this announced pre-Rooney and I'm looking like an absolute tit here in front of people?
I wouldn't be surprised if TV broadcasters did have like a say on that sort of thing.
Probably.
But my argument is, you know, 12:30 is ridiculous.
It's painful, especially for like how many miles is it away? Probably.
I can't work it out at the moment. Is it far, basically?
Probably three.
What time would you have to leave?
For me, it's less. It's later because obviously I live up north. So it's not too bad. Compared to travelling from Birmingham, and obviously vice versa for Birmingham travelling to Southampton, they had a later start than I did. But I would just say, though, about touching on that Rooney thing, if they do want to have his games broadcasted, obviously you can't do it Saturday 3:00 kickoff. There's still a law against that. Why not do it in the evening? I don't understand. You know, why a 7:45 kickoff isn't more effective? I don't know. 12:30 just seems unfair to me.
That's mad. I was in Turkey the other week and it was great. I was literally watching Prem games at 3 o'clock. I was like, this is what it's like.
And they show all the games, don't they, abroad?
Yeah,
they show all
no
the games,
messing.
Like,
yeah,
they
yeah.
go in.
I was just like, what's this?
Like, I know. And yet we can't watch it at 3 o'clock. I mean, I go to all the games, but still, when I want to watch them, just can't do it, can I? But anyway, we're getting massively off topic now. But predictions for...
This is what you get with Blues Focus, though. Let's be honest. We try and do a running order.
Go on a tangent.
2-1 win. Andy says 2-1 win. Mm. Says he can't see us not conceding. Perhaps, yes. 3-1 for Blues. We will win 2-1. Someone said 1-1. Perhaps maybe that's a possibility as well.
Do you know what the main similarities are, though, mate? I agree, and I said it yesterday. With this new style of football, I do not... believe in a clean sheet right now.
Clean sheet, no. I said
yesterday when it was 2-0, I was like, I just don't trust us to keep a clean sheet. Oh yeah.
5-1.
I mean, if it's 5-1, it's limbs, and it. Do you know what I mean? Like,
it's a great away end actually, up in Sunderland. Are you two going to it?
No, I'm working. No. I'm actually working.
You absolute letdowns. It's a good thing we're going to the
country. Not real fan.
I'll be watching on Sky.
Thank you. I'll be getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning, slaving away, getting to Sunderland, and then you'll just be like,
right,
back on the TV.
I'm on a 7-3. Don't worry, lad. I'll be 8 in my life.
2-2. Alpha. Okay, I can't talk this evening. I don't know whether it comes across, but my mind is very frazzled at the moment. I don't know. I think a draw would be good, wouldn't it? It probably is one of those games that we could snatch a win against, really. I think, obviously, through the middle as well, I think that might be a possibility. Did you guys mention it already? I can't remember. I'm having a bit of a mess.
You're right. Been a long day.
Been a long day doing fuck all.
just one of them. And maybe there's the chance, isn't there? We'll get something from it.
Not going to let that go.
No, I've got him now. Finally got one. I agree with most of the comments. So we're going to win. I do think it'd be nice to get a win before the international break as well. And I think
it'd be great.
Every game we're improving, aren't we, under Rooney? Every game we're getting better. So we'll just see what happens.
If
4 points out of 15 is better than 1 point in 12, as much as I don't like looking at it on face value and I like looking at performance as well. Yeah. He needs to get something under his boots a bit more now. He needs to start. But I'd say give him time.
Yeah. Sam, predictions?
In terms of like starting 11, just like going back to a previous point, I think as soon as we get the 3 points and win a game, that will be our like set starting 11.
Yeah.
I think that's when we'll start to see when there's, teams being announced and there's no changes, just trying to find that winning formula. And I'm going to say we're going to get that winning formula against Sunderland. I'll go over 2-1 Blues. It seems to be the general consensus that we're going to concede minimum 2 to win. So I'll go 2-1 Blues.
2-1 Blues, fair enough.
Don't encourage him.
We'll be dabbing all the time then.
I know who that is. I know exactly who that is as well.
Oh god. Anything else to touch on before we wrap up? I think we've mostly covered everything then, haven't we?
Yeah, I think so.
On to next week, I guess. I think we're pretty tired, so
I think we've covered everything, haven't we? Like getting to the international break, have no extra injuries, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah, indeed.
And work on some injuries and people coming back, because there is still some players I'd question fitness-wise. I think, like we said pre-pod, something's up with Bielik. I think he has got an injury of some sort. He doesn't look himself at the minute.
Yeah, I think he's just a bit... He's injury-prone, isn't he? So it's always going to be a problem with him. We've got a lot of injury-prone players, like we said earlier. It's still going to be a tricky season, as it's shown 100%. In the last three games. That's four games, I should add, actually. Yeah. But yeah, it's I'm hoping that Rooney gets a win soon, because obviously, like, not winning in your first five games isn't a great show, really. But it's football sometimes, things you can't really beg for a win, can you? You've still got to push on and try and get as best as you can. That's pretty much all we have to say. We'll say as well, though, we did get an interview with Wayne Rooney. Well done, Zach Woods, for getting in there. Good man, Zach, indeed. We are also a part of the TalkSport Fan Network now. So nothing's changed in terms of listening to it. It just means that we've got a nice backup behind us now. Good, proper brand name. Really enjoyed sort of looking forward to working with them. It'll be good. And we are also in the Football Content Awards final. Obviously, me and Jamie will be going along. Fingers crossed, we can bring home the award for the rest of the Blues fan base. It was an improvement yesterday, and hopefully things are looking on the way back up. But thank you very much, guys, for joining me. It's been a pleasure as usual. Be sure to like and subscribe and follow us on all of the streaming platforms that you might find them in. Thank you for watching, and keep right on.
Keep right on.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.